can save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is.
And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. If you have a home improvement hang-up, help is on the way. You can send an email or call into the show. The Mighty House crew is now on the job. This is
Mighty House.
Good morning, Chicago. I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is on the air. This is where we discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. Do you have a problem with your house and don't know what to do? Well, you can give us a call, 773-763-9278. Maybe you need to know how to install a tile floor, repair a plumbing problem, or place a switch or an outlet. Give us a call, 773-763-9278. All right, we got open phones right now, so get your questions in. In the first hour, we'll have the Mighty House Tip of the Week with Rich Cowgill. In the second hour, we'll be talking with Steve Burness from the BBB. With all the holidays getting ready to start up and all the scams that are rolling around, we're going to be talking about those, find out what the latest trends are in those scams. Of course, we'll have Gardening with Laura Waring, and we'll find out what this snow will do to her. And in the third hour, what everybody sticks around for, what everybody's waiting for, what everybody listens to the entire show for, Clutter Clarity with Robbie Earhart.
Stop for the whatever, stop.
And we're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And, of course, you can use the hashtag of Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 773-763-9278, you too can talk to Robbie and find out what she's been up to this week. Because we haven't talked much.
We haven't?
No.
I was at your office this week.
Oh, that's right. You were.
Busy, didn't notice or didn't remember, let's put it that way.
You can tell how busy we all are when I go to Facebook on Friday night to kind of just get a list of everything that we've posted over the week, and we didn't post anything this week. There's nothing up there.
That's true.
I'll tell you a funny story that just having nothing to do with Mighty House, because, you know, it's what I'm all about. So last night, I can see, like, reflections of headlights coming into my house. I'm like, there's a car in my driveway. Why is there a car in my driveway? I'm kind of looking, and then another car, like, pulls and kind of stops, and they both get out. And I'm like, oh, there's going to be a fight in front of my house. Oh, there's going to be a fight because people are all stopped. I'm like, what is going on? And then I look in the street, and a tree had fallen down because I live in the woods.
Oh, the wind.
Yeah, and the wind had taken a tree down, and it crossed the road so that nobody could get by. And so I go out there. And I'm looking, and my next-door neighbor's 13-year-old boy has a little handsaw, and, you know, he's sawing it down and called the city. The neighbor had called the city a half hour ago. Nothing, you know. Then, so I'm out there, and I'm with the little boy, and I'm like, all right, we're going to just, you know, saw this tree down. So we saw the tree down, or we're, you know, starting to saw the tree down. Then another neighbor, a young woman with two kids, and she can't get through, you know, so she stops, and we're out there. And so it's me, a couple ladies, and some kids.
Having a tree cutting party.
A
tree cutting party, yeah.
You know, with one little handsaw.
Uh-huh. You know?
And, you know, cars are coming up, and I'm trying to wave them down, you know, one car, oh my gosh. Like, I'm on a little side street, you know, a little side street. And if there's a forest there and there's always deer coming out and stuff like that. And this car is zooming by and we're screaming at him because he's going to, like, crash into the tree, whatever.
Well, you just step out of the way.
You just step out of the way and go, hey, we tried.
Okay.
And then you got to start the video on the phone so you could post it to Facebook. This is stupid in action.
Yeah. Probably could have, should have, you know. So anyway, so one guy, you know, comes by and he kindly says, oh, I'll get out and help. And we're like, oh, my gosh. You know, I'm thinking that's really kind. And he says, you want a lot of help? You know, I'm going to my friend's house at the end for, like, you know, some little league meeting or something like that. You know, I'm like, oh, Ben. And he's like, yeah, Ben. I'm like, oh, great. You know, so me and one of the little kids, like a 6-year-old, We go to knock on Ben's door. I'm like, hey, you know, this is four houses away. Four houses. And I'm like, we need some help, you know, down there. There's a tree down. He's like, yeah, I'm having a meeting. I'm like, yeah, I know you're having a meeting because your friend is stuck on the other side. He's like, oh, you know, can we help like later? I'm like, no, we can't help later. I mean, I don't care. People could just turn around, but it's a weird street. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to go way out of your way to get around. He's like, we're having a meeting. It's another guy pops his head by. And I go, you know, your friend is down there, says you're the nicest bunch of guys, and you'd love to come out and help. And they're like, maybe 15 minutes? I'm like, no, there's women and children out here, and it was cold, and no one was prepared, so everybody was really cold. Like, there's women and children out there, and there's 15 to 20 guys in there, and they're having a Little League meeting.
Uh-huh. That's why it's Little League.
Yeah.
It's sports.
I was so...
It's the retirement plan party.
I was, like, furious. And so finally they, you know, all drag their butts out. It took literally 5 minutes, because there were, again, like 20 of them. They just lifted it.
And pushed it out of the way.
And moved it into the woods.
Uh-huh.
I was screaming. And one guy walks back. He's like, you scared me. I'm like,
we call you a job mom for a reason.
That's right. You mustered all the help. You got it all together.
You scarred him into it.
You shamed him into moving it.
I did. I shamed them. Can you believe it? I mean, neither of you would do that. You know, for as many, you know... You guys drive me nuts as many times as I say that. When I do talk about you guys, I always say they're the two people who would do anything for anybody. You know, I'm like, you guys would go out of your way for anybody, do anything for anybody.
Almost.
I know you both would. And that's total seriousness. And here's a house full of men. And I'm like...
Men.
But you're interrupting the Little League.
Yeah.
Their retirement plan.
There's priorities.
Unbelievable. Men who wouldn't, not one of them on their own. They all had to like, oh, maybe. Jeez. That's my story for the day. It's Robbie's rant of the day. Little
nice.
Week.
Uh-huh.
All right. So.
So I hear you guys are under like a winter weather warning or something like that.
Yeah, a little bit of snow. It was 70 degrees 2 days ago, 60s yesterday.
I know. It's so
high of 34 today.
It's so weird up there. I don't miss that.
Yeah. So I had a nice ride yesterday. Put a couple hundred miles on the bike, running around to job sites and doing stuff. So I think that's the end. They went in the garage. I think they're going to be done for a while.
Really?
Well, Sherry always posts, you know, when she's got her top off. So
right.
Can you please say what that means?
No, that's good enough.
It's really not, Rich. I just said how nice you are.
Her convertible top.
Thank you.
What? That's
well,
what
I mean.
It is.
Anybody drives around with a plate that says topless.
Yeah.
You know, so she encourages the same. But anyway, yeah.
Just clarifying.
Oh, wait. Never mind. Forget it.
Okay.
Looking at the wrong numbers. You got time.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just clarifying. And you know what's funny? Somebody else said to me recently, you know, it's a new person, not a new person, but person I just realized listens to the show. And I'm like, yeah, I'm learning a lot, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then I realize that my job on the show was to be the person who knows nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't ask the questions that I used to ask.
Why?
Because I know more. So yep. Maybe you need to hire somebody who doesn't know anything anymore. You know what I mean?
Because
I can answer questions now.
Okay, let's try this one. Let's see if you can answer this one then.
Oh,
all
geez.
Right, you ready?
No.
Let's go to the phones then. Let's go to Maria in Bolingbrook. Hey, Maria, you there?
Yes, hi, good morning.
Okay, you got a question for Robbie?
Stop it.
If she can help me, yeah. So we have my kids' bathroom. It gets really cold at nighttime when they're taking a shower. So I was looking at those bathroom heater fans. It's like a, you know, it goes in where the ceiling fan is.
Okay.
But then when I was looking at the instructions for them and the reviews, it says not to use it above a shower. And our fan right now is located not directly above the shower, but almost above the shower. So can I use that in the kids' bathroom, or is that against the code or something?
Right. It is against National Electric Code to put it inside the shower. It's got to be outside the shower.
It's not like a shower enclosure. It's maybe like 2 feet off not directly above the shower, but maybe like 2 feet away. Is that still too close?
Yeah, I like to set it, that's going to be about right. Generally, we would set that, you know, 2 to 3 feet away, depending on the size of the bathroom.
Okay.
But as long as it's in front of the shower, then it'll draw it out there. How many CFM fan did you get?
Well, we haven't bought it yet. The ones that I was looking at are like 110 or 120.
Good. Good. Because they really, even though they say 50 CFM and they're good for a 5x8 bathroom, they're really not.
Okay.
The past couple of years, we've actually started doubling the CFM that's required just to actually move the air out of the bathrooms.
Right.
So,
take a look at your venting. Make sure it goes directly outside. As long as you're going to tear into it, you might have to go in the attic or whatever. And then, but as long, like Ron says, if it's 2 feet away from the shower on the ceiling, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, that would still be okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, okay. Oh, sorry, Robbie, you were supposed to answer that question. We just jumped in.
Oh, I was looking it up.
I was looking it up.
Yeah, just make sure it's vented outside through the roof or through the wall. You don't want it just dumping into the attic because you'll end up with a mold fest.
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure the fan that's there now is vented to the outside, so they would still be able to use that one, right?
Correct,
yep.
Correct.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, good luck. Thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye.
You know, the other reason why you end up oversizing these fans, especially in a retrofit, is because most of the time they ran 3-inch pipe outside.
Yeah.
And you get a 110 CFM fan, it takes 4.
Uh-huh.
And if you can't get all the way through and outside, you end up putting a reducer on there, which will work, but reduces it down 30%. So you went 110 down to 70 CFM.
Right. And then how many elbows are in there? Or did they use the corrugated stuff, which reduces the flow?
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of stuff going on there that are, it's not, I think I got to, let me see if this is it.
What? Men,
men, men,
men, men, men, men, men,
men,
men, men, men, men, men, men,
men. You got to have something about cutting down trees.
That's right.
It's great to be on a ship with men and sail across the sea.
What is this from?
We don't know where we'll land or when. It's great to be with men. There's men above, there's men below, there's men down in the galley.
B is having a fit.
There's Bush.
That's right.
And one guy we call Sally.
Men,
men, it sounds like Monty Python. It sounds like Monty Python.
It is.
There's no one here but men.
Men, 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 I just had to play that for you.
Thank you.
It was in my head when you were talking about all these men coming out, and I had to get that out of my system.
You always sang men, men, men,
men, men. That's where it comes from.
Oh, my gosh.
Monty Python. Is it wrong?
It is not wrong.
Did we
ever give the phone number out here?
I don't know. 773-763-9278, and we can go to Will in Skokie. Hey, Will, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Morning, guys. It's funny you're bringing this point up. I had a thing yesterday. I went out and did a consult for a family in the boonies.
Over by there?
Feeling bad. Pardon?
Over by there?
Yeah, over by there, out there. The land beyond O'Hare.
Oh, yeah.
They were complaining of headaches and things like this, and I was concerned that there might have been a carbon monoxide thing or something.
Uh-huh.
But turns out they had their attic. It was a ranch house. They had their attic insulated with the spray cellulose. And they had two exhaust fans that were going right up to the attic, just laying on there, just the slinky with the vinyl on it, not vented outside.
Uh-huh.
And you could tell because the plywood and the rafters right around where those vents were, the vent pipes, were, you know, darkened. And they had a substantial amount of mold growing in that cellulose. Remember, cellulose is mold food. That's what it is.
Yes, it is.
And so basically, I just turned them on to some guys. I think I had them call you about some other problems they had. But, you know, that's the thing you got to watch out for when you insulate, is to look at all the conditions. Too often, people who insulate are just a couple of guys who get a blower from Home Depot, and, you know, they're just spraying stuff up there. They don't know what they're doing. And, you know, you got to watch out for ventilation, not only at the bathrooms and stuff, but also ventilation of the attic. They just had this ridge vent, but it was not open. They just nailed it too tight, so they had no ventilation up in the attic too. So
all right, hey, Will, we gotta go to a break, buddy. I appreciate the phone call.
Bye-bye.
All right, talk to you. All right, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
Men, 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 men,
men, men,
men,
men,
men.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
a bill fan. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. And you can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you, too, can give us a call, 773-763-9278. All right, there we go. There's Facebook.
Yeah.
What you got going on?
What did you have going on?
What'd you got going on there?
Did you post?
Because we really didn't do anything this week on there.
No, we didn't. I was serious in that first segment. I went on there last night and went, whoa. None of us did anything.
I've been super busy this week trying to figure some stuff out. You know, so we have a lot of friends in the energy audits and home inspection and, you know, green building and. And I'm just trying to deal with this whole unvented roof structure because some of the new evidence is showing, you know, ridge rot, things like that.
Yep.
And, like, trying to work things out. And then we have, you know, the green certifications for homes. So I've been doing lots and lots of trying to come up with cost-effective ways to do the, my systems. And it's...
Uh-huh.
My head hurts.
Sorry, man. Oh, and that's probably the latest stuff that Allison came up with, right?
Some of that, yeah. Well, that's what put some of it going forward. Because, like, closed cell phone, you really won't have that problem because obviously its PERM rating is zero.
Right.
But we use open cell phone for whatever reason. You know what I mean? Like, I've done enough research. Apparently, you don't use closed cell foam in a roof deck down here.
You want the migration.
You need that migration of the moisture. So, because it is so much more humid, so you need it to be able to dry out and do things. So then it makes you wonder: should you run pans all the way up from the soffit to the ridge, and do it like a semi-vented roof?
Oh, yeah.
You know where you can put the foam underneath, but you still leave below the sheathing. You leave that draft.
Leave the tray.
So I'm trying to figure out a way that. It's just not cost effective. It's just, I might as well go back to cellulose on the ceiling. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then just build dog houses inside the attic for the equipment and duck chases and then just insulate those.
Yeah.
So.
Huh.
All right. I have a question.
Okay.
And we might have an answer.
Mighty House. So again, people, you can call us, which is the very, very best, 773-763-9278.
It's the best, Jerry. It's the best.
You can email me at robbie@mightyhouse.net. What were you saying, Rich?
It's the best, Jerry. It's the best.
Who's
Never
Jerry?
Heard that one. Huh? Seinfeld.
Thank you. Because the problem with emailing is that sometimes there's more information that we need to know. So give us a call. Okay.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Pavlovian response. Is that, am I saying that right?
I don't know.
Like Pavlov's dog or something. Pavlovian response. So as soon as I could be doing anything and you play that and I'm like, email, get your email. I could be anywhere. And all of a sudden I'm like, email.
Uh-huh.
Robbie, our family has a big house, including two floors and a fully used basement and attic with undisciplined kids and high electric bills to go with. I've been switching out bulbs to CFLs and LEDs, putting timers on fans and lights and other things, but have heard that, even though there is just one ComEd account meter, if we have an electrician remap, balance, and redistribute the lines going into the two breaker boxes, that we can achieve big savings. I don't understand if this is true, if it makes sense, or if it is hard to find an electrician who is good at this. Some context and advice would be appreciated.
I just throw that one over to the house electrician.
Okay, so if you have 10 light bulbs on one breaker, and let's say they're 100-watt bulbs, so now you're pulling 1,000 watts on that one breaker, right?
Okay, yes.
Okay, 10?
Yes.
So now we want to balance this, because you're going to get into the weeds here pretty fast. So,
nerd alert.
So here's where you the idea is it's going to be reading the higher of the two legs because there's two wires coming into the house plus your neutral, so it's reading the higher of the two, and that's what you're getting your build on. So if one side's really weak and the other side's really strong, theoretically, yes, you can. Are you going to save a bunch of money? No. But you've got 1,000 watts coming off of one breaker, and you split that to 10, you're still pulling 1,000 watts, even though if you put a light bulb on each breaker,
got it,
you're still pulling 1,000 watts. That doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying, though, is if you flip it to the other side and you put 5 and 5, that you're going to theoretically reduce your bill.
Going to balance it.
You're balancing.
Theoretically.
Right.
How much?
I've never done it. I mean, I've balanced a panel before, but I've never looked it back and said, oh, that saved us money.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other side isn't just a... If you changed all of those 10 100-watt bulbs to LEDs,
yeah,
each would be 8 watts.
Yes.
And you would only be drawing 80 watts, less than one light bulb, boom, balanced.
Right.
In other words, you can do it with the end, you know, because as soon as you put the toaster oven in the outlet, there goes your balance.
Right. So it does.
I can't run the house balance, I guess.
I think that's a bunch of hooey in a nutshell.
Okay.
I mean,
probably not worth the cost of doing it.
If I was in a commercial building, okay, yeah, now that may make some sense. But in
like
a house.
Like a three phase in all machinery motors.
Yes. So then that might make some sense. In a residential situation, nah.
Thank you.
That goes right along with the other one that I get the email all the time saying that make sure you pump your gas in the morning when it's cold, so you, because it's denser, and then the gasoline, you'll get more gasoline in your tank because it's cold.
Eh.
Versus in the afternoon when it's warm and it expands, so then you can't put as much gas in your tank. There's
a problem. It's always 55 degrees.
There you go. That just like, come on, really?
You mean that first 20 feet or that little bit that's in the hose?
Yeah, it expands.
That I always open the thing up afterwards anyway?
The ground is always 54 degrees. The fuel coming out is always going to be 54 degrees. I don't care what the air temperature is.
So. Can you talk about switching the air in your tires from summer air to winter air?
No. No, I will not.
Why?
Because winter air is more dense than summer air. So
you're actually better off going and getting nitrogen
and
put in your tires.
And being done with it. Go to the dealer.
Nitrogen molecules are larger than oxygen, and they will tend not to leak, and they're more stable, so your tire pressure doesn't vary as much. So when you, especially you have the idiot light on the dash, you know, the tire pressure sensor monitors.
Uh-huh.
God, I hate those things.
You know, what's really bad is if you have a heated garage, so the tire pressure's up, and then you drive outside when it's, you know, 20 degrees out, and then the tire pressure drops, and now the lights are going off. Like, come on.
Well, I just didn't like them. That's why I don't have nice wheels and tires on my truck. Because, uh-huh, you know, I got to run 80 pounds in the rear and 70 and 50 in the front.
Yeah. You run 80 in the rear?
Yep.
Wow, I don't. It rides
well,
like
that's the thing. If I get down to 70, the idiot light comes on.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah. So I can't put wheels and tires on there.
Oh, geez.
You know, because nobody makes like a nice wheel and tire combo that you could put 80 pounds of air in. So I'm on load range E, and that's why I got the goofiest looking little wheels on my 3/4 ton truck, but it works.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I don't run the backs that heavy unless I'm towing. Then I'll put, you know, if I'm going to be hauling stuff, then I'll fill them up. But
no, I don't have any choice. See, if I dropped them down to 70 or even 65,
yep,
I could get a better ride out of the truck,
yep,
right? It's
exactly
not like driving on rocks like the Flintstones.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Idiot light.
Oh, man.
It was funny because I actually put my wheels and tires on my truck once, not even thinking about that. When I first bought it,
yeah,
and I had OnStar free for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
They had to call me and tell me I had 4 flats, and I'm like, you think?
I'm doing 70 on the freeway.
Yeah, on 4 flat tires. Whatever.
Tom from Downers Grove called to ask your thoughts, and I don't think he means my thoughts.
Yours.
On hiring a roofer through a big box store. He couldn't find anybody by calling the union shop.
What?
And wants to make sure he's getting quality, insurance, et cetera. All right, first of all, what's the union shop?
Probably the roofers union? Right.
So,
I don't remember the union number, but their training center's right off of 294.
So why couldn't he find anybody calling a union shop? A union roofer shop, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, majority of union roofers are doing large commercial projects, so I'm assuming he's looking somebody to do his house. And I wouldn't suspect you'll find a lot of union roofing contractors residential.
There are a few out there, and I was actually talking to one of the union guys there from the roofers local, and they actually are coming up with a residential program that they're trying to put together. But that may be they just don't do, the ones that they've called, the companies that he has called or she has called don't do residential, therefore they're not getting a return phone call.
Hmm.
But there is a sponsor of the show that they might want to try.
Yes.
AWM.
Oh, see, and I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. AWM Construction, although they're mostly roofing, it's AWM Construction.
AWM Roofing is really the...
And see, that's it's roofers, drywallers, and carpenters. The unions are all wonderful, except they don't
right
work in residential. Yeah, absolutely, because when it's that's not even worth...
You know, the things that you say, oh, I can't even remember. There's one that you say all the time, and I'm like, oh, geez. I'm sorry, go ahead.
847-235-6635. Ask for Greg at AWM. And it's awmroofing.com, I believe, is their website. So
I think it's AWM Construction.
No, I'm going to click on the link right here.
Fine.
That's at mightyhouse.net on the team page, and it takes you right to awmroofing.com. See?
Oh, mm.
Or you just go to mightyhouse.net. Click on the Mighty House team page. You scroll down through there. Boom, done. You're rocking. You're rolling.
Uh-huh. I'm checking.
It's easier.
More better.
Okay. This is what confuses me about AWM. Greg, if you're listening, awmroofing.com takes you to AWM Construction.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes.
No.
It doesn't. Look at the name of the company.
Okay.
When you click on awmroofing.com, what's the name of the company?
Let me scroll down because I'm just hitting the link.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hitting the link to awmroofing.com is where it takes me.
Yeah, but
right. But look at the name of the company.
Is AWM Construction. And I'm sure that was taken. So AWM Construction was probably taken. So that's why he went with AWM Roofing.
And you don't know. He might have started out as, like, just say he was a remodeling contractor like we were, and then he ended up doing more and more roofing, and he just, well, I'm no longer a framer. I'm just doing roofing.
Can you say duct tape, Rich?
Duct tape?
Come on, do it.
Come on, do it.
Duct
tape.
Like I'm a monkey or something?
Yeah.
Here, do it.
Do it again, Rich.
Duct tape.
Are you okay? Here, the monkey. Here, have the monkey. Here, turn the grinder. Come on. Turn the grinder.
Okay. Speaking of contractors, listen to your show every week. A problem that every legitimate contractor who is primarily in residential work has to deal with is competitors who use subcontracting as a way to misclassify their workforce.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Might be a good topic of conversation on the show. This issue is eating away at the contractors who try to run a legitimate operation. Okay, I don't understand. How can you misclassify work?
Well, it depends on what you mean by misclassify. Ron and I are perfect examples. Ron has, I don't know, it doesn't really matter. Ron has a whole bunch of employees.
15.
I had none.
Yeah.
And now where they're getting it, what they mean by misclassifying is I could have 5 guys working with me, and if I told them where to be and what to do and so on, then according to IRS, they are employees.
And you paid them by the hour.
Right. But I did not do that. I was a general contractor. I signed contracts with subcontractors. It would be a carpentry contractor, whatever. And I was, here's the schedule. This is when I expect you there. And if they didn't show up, I'd yell at them, but there's not much more I can do. He's a subcontractor.
Who gets paid?
He does. I don't pay the 5 guys with him. I pay one check to that company, not to a person.
So
to
the
an individual.
Client pays you. You pay the subcontractor.
Right.
Okay,
correct.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nope, that's fine.
The check goes to the subcontractor, a company, not, it would go to the framing company, Inc., or to the electrician company, Inc., not to a person's name. What they're doing, what she means by misclassifying, is people have guys working for them. And they're not my employees. They're all subcontractors. So you got 12 subcontractors and you help, you know, helping you frame a house because you're cutting them all a check individually, but you're not withholding taxes. You're not carrying workman's comp on them, the whole nine yards. And so that you've got a whole bunch of uninsured people on your property. That's what she's talking about. And that's a very scary situation. And unfortunately, it's the predominant situation in Chicago.
Well, all across the country. So, you know.
Not down here.
Oh, no?
You will get arrested.
Really?
They enforce that so seriously. You have to be licensed here. You have to have it. It's a different world down here. It's well run. It's managed.
But if I'm a contractor down there, I can't just go down to the local big box store and say, hey, jump in the back, let's go, and I pay those guys by the day?
You can. You can get day labor.
Yeah.
But you're going to have insurance for that. You know what I'm saying? Well, there's a lot of guys that do that. I mean, we have labor-ready companies, but they carry workman's comp and a whole nine yards for all those guys.
Yeah, no, see, I'm saying they just wing it, you know? They just go out and do it.
I'm not going to say it doesn't happen down here, mm-hmm. but I'm telling you it's a lot less likely to happen down here than it is up there.
Yeah. So if Ron were to go somewhere, so you're saying that there are day laborers hanging out at Home Depot?
Oh, yeah.
Like where?
Right outside the contractor's entrance, there's always a few guys standing there looking for a day's work.
Yeah. But see, the other thing is you, instead of paying all the workman's comp, the liability insurance, withholding the taxes and doing all the stuff a normal employee would do, or employer would do for an employee, this I would just pay them $15 an hour, you're gone, you're done. There's no insurance, no nothing. That's a lot cheaper than paying somebody $15 an hour plus doing all that other stuff.
Can we talk about that in a minute?
Possibly. We got the tip of the week coming up.
Oh, all right. We'll save the thought. Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. This is Mighty House with Ron Cowgill. Answering all of your toughest questions about home repair. Get all your answers from the experts. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you, too, can give us a call, 773-763-9278. All right, let's, before we move on, it's almost over. The ISEA Tesla raffle is almost over. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you want to get in, go to illinoisolar.org and go to the top left-hand corner, click on the raffle button, and get your tickets for the Tesla. It's $100 for one. It's $300 for four. There's only 2,500 tickets being sold, so you've got an excellent chance of winning this.
Especially, or donating.
Yes, or you're donating to a good cause.
That's nice.
And it's $100. It's going to Illinois Solar. It's a nonprofit organization that helps to try and get educate people about solar here in Illinois. And I guess, well, anywhere in the country can come here and take their free classes. So they do a lot of stuff, and they do a lot of advocacy in Springfield trying to get solar pushed through. So good organization to support. And, of course, you win a Tesla.
So nice.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
So, all right. Let's see. Okay, so we were talking employees.
Going to Home Depot, picking up some day laborers. So even though you are covered, your company has insurance, they are not covered.
Correct.
Okay.
But so, I if I was just to try and save some money, I could just hire some people and have them do the work. If they get hurt, not my problem. They'll sue the homeowner because they're not going to sue me. They didn't get hurt on my property. They got hurt on the homeowner's property. So if they're painting, they fall off the ladder and hurt themselves, well, now that's going to go against the homeowner's insurance.
Okay, let's just say,
because that's where they were working.
If
that's where they were, and if I'm paying them cash, there's no proof that I ever paid them or why they were there.
Let's just say, because you know how there's always those pictures of like men doing dumb things on ladders.
Who?
Men. Yes.
So let's say a man is doing a dumb thing on a ladder, falls off.
Uh-huh.
Can he sue? You're saying he can sue the homeowner.
Right.
Yes.
But he didn't do anything. I mean, the homeowner didn't do anything.
Yeah, allowed him on his property on a ladder to do the work. So if now if the contractor you hired has liability insurance, workman's comp, has all the coverages, when that person falls, hurts themselves, then they go to the hospital. They say, what company you work for? They say, dot, 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 here's the insurance. Boom, boom, done. Doesn't come back against the homeowner.
I was working in someone's house, and I did something really stupid and fell off a ladder.
Right.
Can you still go after the homeowner?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you were doing work in their home.
That's where you were.
That's why we always tell people, do not allow people to do work in your home without proof of insurance first.
Hmm. You don't like that answer, do you?
No, if somebody's doing something stupid, how can they sue me?
B doesn't like it either. Now, if it's your friend that you comes over to help you, well, then that's going to go against your homeowner's insurance for sure. So if you have, you know, if you have a painting party and have everybody come over and start painting and somebody falls and hurts themselves, they don't have health insurance, it's going to come back on your property insurance.
Okay.
Look at B saying no. Yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
I'm not a lawyer, but I that part I'm pretty safe.
But can't somebody come back and say, okay, here's an example. A million years ago, I was at work, tripped and twisted my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, well, you were at work, so that's a workman's compensation thing. But it never happened because they said something like, I mean, my regular health insurance paid for it, but they said it wasn't part of doing my job.
And like, were you on lunch break or something?
No. But they're like, it wasn't, you know, they're like, exactly what happened? And I'm like, walking? And that's what it said. It wasn't part of doing my job.
My guess would be that they kind of buffaloed you a little bit to keep their workman's comp, low. Because if it happened during work hours, regardless of whether it's a part of your job or not, you know, it still can be workman's comp. I mean, it truly depends on what, in some circumstance, I can't think of one outside of it.
I thought so,
but
too.
But it's probably a minor claim, so then
right. It was very minor, so again, my health insurance took care of it. But, you know, it was a bad sprain. They said I had to go see if it was broken.
Right. So, had it been a major issue, a broken leg or something like that, then your insurance company would say, hey, where'd this happen? Why did it happen? And then they would have pushed it back onto the workman's comp.
Got it.
Yeah, when I blew my wrist apart, I can't tell you how many times they called me and asked me the same 7 questions.
Yep.
And they're just waiting for the story to change.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It never changed. Yes. Because it would appear to be a workman's comp case, but it was not. I did it at home.
Working on your own house.
Uh-huh.
What happened?
I had a nail gun shoot. Kicked back, pass load nail gun kicked back because it was low on fuel and I was shooting into old lumber and it tore every tendon and ligament in my wrist. And I had to have my wrist rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
So
really?
So I had that all done and they kept calling me, asking me where it happened because, I mean, that's also what I do for a living. So I go, no, just coincidentally, happened to be at home. Mm-hmm. What do you do about that, you know? And I have workman's comp on myself even though I was, you know, paper general. So I could have went either way with it. But again, why, you know, I'm a one-man company. Why would I want to pay extra on my own workman's comp for my own self? It's not like helping anybody.
Well, but now they do require that. Even on a sole proprietor, you have to have workman's comp on yourself.
No, I do. I did. And same thing. Yeah, I had that on my, like, I had to pay it on the first $30,000 or something like that. And I think they upped it, but I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, it was funny because they asked me a million times, what were you doing? I'm like, walking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just kept calling back, I'm walking. It's time for the tip of the week.
Is it?
Okay, Sparky.
All right, way this show started out with all the men talk, I think this is kind of an odd topic, but it was not yesterday when I wrote it.
It's a ship all filled with men. You'll never have to lift a seat. There's no one here but men.
Men, 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 men. I like it.
All right, so this one starts out hers and mine.
Uh-oh.
So what's hers going to cost you? So you may not know much about hers. Ratings.
Oh,
they're here,
they're
not going away.
Thank you.
Okay. PERS ratings are home energy rating scores. They've been built into the 2015 International Energy Code. And how and when it will affect you will depend on when the code's adopted and then implemented. That said, you can use it today to sell your home or not. So what the HERS rating does is look at your home in relation to other homes in your geographic area or climate zone. So, for instance, I'm in climate zone 1. Ron and Robbie, you guys are in climate zone 5A. So you're not going to compare my house to your house. Totally different standards. But the actual score for your home is referenced from 0 to 150 plus. A score of 0 is what's called the net zero home. So when you hear us talk about a net zero home, that means it produces as much energy as it uses. So it's well insulated, but it has solar panels. So it uses less energy, but it produces the same amount, thus net zero.
Mm-hmm.
And it works through a lot of different little things. So a new standard, or a standard new home built to the 2004-2006 International Energy Code, that would be your base 100-point home. That's where they came up with this number. So if you follow the 2004-2006 code, so every home that, you know, all the people out there listening that have a home built 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, they should have a 100-point or lower home, okay? So when you talk about that, it's also the homes. Those homes are legally the worst houses you can build, or, I mean, it meets code.
Right.
The worst houses. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yes. So think of this, your HERS rating or your HERS score like a golf score. So to win, you want the low score. And for every point you go down, it's a 1% difference in your energy efficiency. So, you know, you're 1%, 100%, that's good. But if you go down, if you can produce another 1%, you'll be a 99. So the best way to test this is a HERS test typically has to be completed by somebody with the ResNet certification, which is an organization, national organization, and they do specialized training for that. Energy audit is not the same thing. However, an energy audit done on your home is a good indication of how to lower your HERS rating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I said this could help sell your home. So if a HERS rater came, did the testing of your house, and your house is a 63, and let's say your house is a 63 because you listened to this show, you did all the air sealing before insulated, then installed energy-efficient appliances, low-E windows, and a high SEER, S-E-E-R, HVAC system. So yep. Your seasonal energy efficiency rating, real high SEER. So it shows buyers that your home will cost less to live in than another house on the same block. So it's worth more.
Of the same age.
Yes. So the new 2015 code is going to require that new homes be tested, and the minimums have been lowered. So The scores range, get this one, Ron. The scores range from 52 in climate zones 1 and 2. That's what I'm going to have to meet.
Uh-huh.
For you, being in 5A, well, actually, 53 is the high score, and that's for zones 7 and 8. So you guys are probably in the 52 range also.
Wow.
So as you can see, new homes are going to have to be built to a much better standard than even 12 years ago to achieve this. And as you can imagine, it'll add 7 to 10% of the cost of the home. But I think the way they get this really rolling, though, is for like mortgage interest rates to be tied to the HERS rating. So the lower your score, the lower the interest rate.
Yes. Well, that makes sense, though.
So that would encourage not just builders, but homeowners to improve their HERS number.
Right.
So if you want some more information about this, go to HERINDEX.com.
Say that again. HERSIND.
Nope. That's where it's confusing. The S is missing. HERINDEX.
Okay.
HERINDEX.com. And they have a whole bunch of information there about it and what's really they're looking for in a HERS rating. But the HERS rating is the same as like when you go to look at appliances and you see the Energy Star label.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be an Energy Star label for your house. And the lower the number, the better. So by doing the energy audit or getting your, you know, and sitting with a HERS rater, you can figure out the easiest way to get to those numbers.
Right. And if you look at the listing sheet for your house, the MLS sheet, they have a block in there already in their sheets for that HERS rating. Mm-hmm. So that way you can start doing the testing and they can start listing it. Right now, most people don't know to look for it, so it's in there. But nobody ever looks for it because it's you know, the box is always empty. But
as
this comes around, it's going to become more and more popular, and people will start paying attention to it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the National Association of Home Builders is probably the primary one fighting this. Obviously, it's going to cost more to build homes, but, you know, it's like anything else. It's with change. So, yes, it might cost a little bit more, you know, especially the first couple of homes.
Mm-hmm.
But once it becomes the norm, it's very simple to achieve because they're not asking you to get super crazy here. It's just be more resourceful.
Right. Well, and if you buy a home like that, the extra $1,000 or $1,500 it costs to buy that home, you're going to save over the next couple of years because the energy efficiency of that home is so much better. So,
well, that said, a net zero house basically will cost you nothing to heat and cool.
Right.
So if you buy, you know, I mean, I think to me, like the Chicago bungalows mm-hmm. would be the prime example going down a street and doing like a complete air seal and insulation job, replacing appliances, putting all new LED bulbs in and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then test that house against the one that's been restored original.
Yes.
And you'd have a HERS 120 and a HERS 50.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Steve Burness after the news. He's from the BBB. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.